Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 67 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Rachel Turner.
Even though the slab looks like it's on the ground, it'll actually be suspended as well.
Moorhead City Council is moving forward with projects and new developments.
The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is on pause in the Commonwealth.
The governor says he will lift restrictions when more Kentuckians are vaccinated.
Charles Booker is gearing up for a Senate run.
The U.S. Senate minority leader is critical of the American Rescue Plan.
In sports, Vikings softball is back in action tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
A 20% chance of showers tonight with a low around 47. We'll have a look at this region's extended weather forecast after the news.
Aside from the contention from protesters, April's regular Moorhead City Council meeting saw updates on a number of projects in the city. David Rhodes with Pax and Walker gave a construction update on the new police and 911 center, saying soft soil conditions has crews running a few weeks behind at this point. However, he says progress will become more visible soon, with walls for the facility set to go up over the next few weeks. Council also moved forward with plans to purchase a portable stage to use during city events. Council member Glenn Teeger says the 20x16 unit will be state of the art.
It goes up in a trailer, use a transmission button that's self-leveling, the stage self-levels up at the top. It's got lighting package, it's got towers for anyone to come in and hang your speakers on that are rated up to 8,000 pounds. It's everything that you could want in a nice portable stage.
Council moved forward with the purchase in hopes of having a stage in time for Freedom Fest, though that's not a guarantee. Another project, the Starbucks, is currently being constructed near Interstate 64, is aiming to be completed by the end of June.
Governor Andy Beshear announced a pause in the use of the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine in Kentucky. This comes amid recommendations made today by the federal government. The CDC and FDA are investigating after reports that six recipients of the J&J vaccine around the country developed blood clots within about 2 weeks of receiving the vaccine. In a news conference today, Beshear says Kentucky has little supply of the J&J vaccine compared to the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, both of which will continue to be administered.
We should expect this pause to be days to possibly a week, but it's likely not to be longer than that. The pause, we are told, is for two major reasons. Number one, to determine how many cases are truly out there. The second is the importance of educating our medical providers on the appropriate treatment for these clots, because it is different than the treatment you would normally do in a blood clot situation.
Beshear urges Kentuckians to keep their appointments for Moderna and Pfizer vaccines to help the state reach its goal of 2.5 million vaccinations.
Around 1.5 million Kentuckians have already received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine so far. If the Commonwealth can reach that 2.5 million mark, Governor Beshear said the state will end capacity limits, distancing restrictions, and curfews for restaurants and bars, along with nearly all venues and events that cater to fewer than 1,000 people.
This is what you've been waiting for. A clear number and a clear goal to hit, where yes, while we'll still wear masks until we have control over this variant, and while the major events we will still have to address in different ways, this is when you know those capacity restrictions will end.
The governor says the state could hit the goal by 3.5 weeks, but more likely between 4 to 6 weeks. The challenge comes as Kentucky sees a shift in momentum in the vaccination campaign, with thousands of once highly sought-after vaccine appointments now growing harder to fill. The governor has urged Kentuckians waiting to receive the vaccine not to postpone vaccinations, citing smaller-than-expected shipments of some of the vaccine doses.
Kentucky Senator Charles Booker is taking a step toward a second U.S. Senate run, announcing he's launched an exploratory committee. After coming closer than expected to winning the Democratic primary race in 2020 against McConnell challenger Amy McGrath, Booker now has his eye on the seat currently occupied by Republican Senator Rand Paul, and he sees a changing political landscape. In 2020, the Democrat told WHAS he believes his message has statewide appeal.
The reason that I feel so serious about this work at a statewide level, with my work with Hood to the Holler and even evaluating the Senate run, is the challenges that we see in my community in the West End, in Louisville as a whole, they speak to the structural challenges that we face.
But the electoral outlook for the eventual Democratic Senate nominee is an especially challenging one in 2022, with both a well-known Republican on the ballot and an abortion amendment that could mean even stronger turnout among GOP voters. In response to Booker's announcements, a spokesperson for Senator Rand Paul told the Associated Press the incumbent is a champion for the values Kentuckians hold dear.
The American Rescue Plan is the latest coronavirus relief package helping state and local governments jump over the hurdle of lost revenues in the last year. The package provides stimulus payments, extended unemployment benefits, brought help to small businesses, and targeted federal vaccination efforts. WSAZ reports Senator Mitch McConnell remains a critic of the plan, believing the priorities are mixed up.
I didn't vote for it because only 1% of it is for vaccines and only 9% of it is for health care, and I thought that's what the focus should be.
On average, Eastern Kentucky counties received $6 million in relief.
The divide between Kentucky's two Republican senators and their differing approaches to the post-Trump era just got wider within recent endorsements by the former president. WUKY's Josh James explains.
Trump is making it clear which brand of Senate leadership he prefers, coming out with an early endorsement of Rand Paul in 2022 and bashing former ally Mitch McConnell at a Republican donor event over the weekend. The comments reveal a former president eager to exercise his still powerful political influence over the party as members weigh which direction the party should take in the coming years. Paul has kept up Trump's fights on a number of fronts, from reining in foreign policy to questioning the scope of COVID-19 restrictions. While McConnell has said he would vote for Trump again if he were the nominee for president, he has distanced himself from the former president's unsubstantiated claims of election fraud and denounced Trump's role in the January 6th riot at the Capitol. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
As Lexington police investigate three separate shooting deaths that happened last week, Ricardo Franklin is carrying on his mother's legacy and calling for peace. Franklin knows the pain and confusion that comes after losing a loved one to gun violence. He lost his brother in 2014. His mother dedicated her life to preventing gun violence after his brother's death. Franklin tells LEX 18 when she died unexpectedly last year, he made it his mission to carry on the legacy.
April 14th, it'll be 7 years since my brother passed away. So each day, you know, it's a different feel each and every day, and especially since losing my mom. But I would like them to know that I'm always here for them. No matter what, I'm always here for them, just like my mom was.
A peace walk will be held to spread awareness about gun violence and connect survivors with resources. The event begins at 2 p.m. on April 24th at Duncan Park in Lexington.
The number of shootings in Lexington is outpacing last year's record-breaking numbers, and many of them involve teens and young adults. The increase has prompted city leaders to push for a reboot and expansion of youth gun violence prevention programs. Jill Wilson is the director of the William Wells Brown Community Center. She tells WKYT the reboot will help individuals to know the importance of gun violence prevention.
We've had several shootings just right here in the East End. We've had some of the teen violence that occurred in the city that was done by some of our teens. You know, gun violence is not a joke.
Wilson hopes the William Wells Brown Community Center will be able to open the center's doors for the first time in over a year and work to restart positive activities. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast, for tonight, a 20% chance of showers after 2 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 47. tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 1 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 63. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 40. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 58. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 37. And for your Friday, sunny with a high near 62.
On our feature segment today, a group called Justice for North Fork gathered to protest the mass eviction and treatment of residents in the North Fork neighborhood. WMKY's Rachel Turner has more.
North Fork strong! North Fork strong!
The protest was held in front of City Hall, right behind a baseball game and next to citizens enjoying the park. Protesters passed around a megaphone to share demands, testimonies, and lead chants.
People are really good at turning a blind eye to things around here.
The property where North Fork is located is being sold to a commercial developer. Although the plan has been discussed publicly since late fall, occupants recently received a notice to vacate by the end of this month. Their former landlord offered $1,000 towards the cost of moving their home to another location. However, the residents and activists gathered feel this is not enough to find new housing.
Fight, fight, fight! Housing is human right!
The group believes the city of Moorhead shares the blame for their situation after community leaders created a tax increment financing district to help the project move forward.
Low-income families matter!
The group listed other building projects they believed failed in the city, as well as businesses that are currently empty.
We used to have over by the old Roses. Boardman's didn't make it 2 days before they shut down.
Penny Gozer is a current resident of North Fork. She has been there since July and came to the protest as the group's press representative. Gozer says her home in North Fork is a big improvement from her last living situation. She has more space for her and her pets and can walk to work easily.
My bedroom was a twin size bed, period.
I'm gonna say,
and now I have a two bedroom, two bath home that I have to walk away from. Animals I have to surrender and get back on riding the bus so I can work.
Her trailer is too old to move to a new location and she can't find another place.
I don't have thousands of dollars laying in the bank. I work paycheck to paycheck. You know, thank God I got the stimulus and I'm sitting on it as hard as I can. Oh my God, I got to go buy myself some new socks and underwear.
She is trying to find solutions, but is coming to dead ends.
I've done talk to the homeless shelter about having a room there, hoping maybe they can help me get into the low-income places, which is not what I want because I can't have my animals.
Gozer's biggest demand right now is for more days before the eviction to find new solutions.
We're just asking for more time. Give us enough time to find a place to go. It's the 12th of April. We got 18 days. It's not enough time. It's just not enough time.
The list of demands on the organization's website include financial compensation and public apologies, as well as more protection for residents of trailer parks throughout the city. Another protester says the money the developers will eventually get back from the tax increment financing through the city and county could be used to help the residents.
If they can do $11.7 million of our tax money, they can drop that to $11.5. Take that $0.2 and help us. Yeah. It would benefit us, it would benefit them, and they would still get what they want, but I'm done being looked through just because I live in a trailer park.
Updates and more information on the group can be found at Justice, the number 4, North Fork, on Facebook and Twitter. The group says they will continue demonstrating.
People over profits, not profits over people.
People over profits, not profits over people.
For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
It's 67 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Rachel Turner and Wiley Tanner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Lake and Hupp has a look at sports, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this lovely Tuesday evening. Rowland softball is back at Sloan Field tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Lakin Hupp. The Rowland County Senior High School softball team will be back at home this evening. The Vikings are hosting Fleming County for a district contest. Head coach Larry Sloan has been working hard with his team to get positioning ironed out for the season. But he says with games like these, his girls will have to be sharp in every aspect of the game.
Our hitting has been really solid. We've just got a few places where our defense has made some big mistakes in crucial situations, and we're going into a week here where we open up with Fleming County, and you know, going into that game, it's a district game. We really cannot afford a lot of mistakes. We have to play pretty solid.
First pitch from Rowan this evening is set for 6 o'clock. Taking a look at other softball action tonight across the 16th region, Greenup hosts Lewis County at 5:30. Bath County will face off with Montgomery at 6 p.m., and the 16th Region All-A Tournament begins this evening as well. Fairview travels to Raceland, and Menifee hosts Elliott County. In regional baseball action tonight, Greenup County travels to Russell at 5 p.m., Bath County travels to Menifee, and Morgan County hosts Elliott County at 5:30. And Raceland welcomes South Webster, Ohio at 6. We'll have the scores from all of those games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Rowan County Senior High School baseball team has the night off after a devastating win over Fairview yesterday. The Vikings beat the Eagles 15-0 in 3 innings. Now it's back to the practice field for Rowan as they prepare to take on Russell tomorrow evening. Head coach Scott Collins says he's beginning to see a clearer picture of his team, but there is still work to be done.
So we're still tweaking the lineup daily. You know, nothing's set in stone at this point, but you know, been really pleased with our pitching staff so far. We thought that was going to be our high point going into this season, and it has been. Hitting's been pretty good. It's just defensively is where we're kind of lacking a little bit at this time.
The Vikings will be at home for all the games this week. First pitch against Russell tomorrow evening is set for 6 o'clock. For the second time in program history and for the first time since 2010, Morehead State Volleyball's roster features two American Volleyball Coaches Association All-Region players, as Olivia Lohmeyer and Bridget Besler earned honors on Tuesday. For Lohmeyer, the selection marks the second consecutive AVCA All-Midwest Region selection, making her one of two players in program history to earn two career AVCA All-Regions honors. Bessler's selection in AVCA All-Midwest Region Honorable Mention selection is the first of her career, as she becomes the fourth setter and ninth overall player in program history to earn All-Region honors. Lohmeyer enters the 2020-21 NCAA Division I Women's Volleyball Championship, ranked 17th in points per set and 20th in kills per set in the NCAA. Bessler is ranked 5th in the country in assists per set. Amongst the NCAA tournament field, she is ranked 3rd in assists per set. Morehead State opens the 2020-21 NCAA Division I Women's Volleyball Championship tomorrow afternoon against Creighton. The match airs on ESPN3 and features a 3:30 p.m. first serve time. The Morehead State Football Eagles are preparing for their final game of the spring season this weekend. MSU tied up their spring season record to 3-3 with a victory over Valparaiso Saturday. Some exceptional defense helped clinch the win for the Eagles, as well as the PFL Defensive Player of the Week award for junior cornerback Brandon Barbie. Still, head coach Rob Tenier says there was a lot of effort put out on both sides of the football.
I think we had 6 or 7 receivers catch the football for us on offense. You know, quarterback Mark Pappas had another solid game, and, you know, he made some big throws, faced some pressure early in the game, and led us to a game-winning touchdown drive, you know, at the end of the game as well. So I was really pleased by him and the way he rebounded in the game.
MSU's spring season wraps up this Saturday when they host Butler for their second matchup against the Bulldogs this season. Kickoff is set off for 4 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Morehead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Curbside delivery at 780-4282, Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks traded mostly higher after March inflation report turned out not as bad as some traders feared, but the impact of a halt to the rollout of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine kept optimism in check. And at the close of the Dow, industrials finished with a loss of 68.13, well off of earlier lows at 33,677.27. The S&P 500 was up 13.6 at 4141.59, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 146.10 at 13,996.10. The NASDAQ was definitely the big outperformer today, gaining over 1% as Apple, PayPal, and semiconductor maker NVIDIA all gained at least 2%, while Tesla was up 8.3%. Reopening trades did come under pressure after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration said it's recommending a pause in the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine after reported cases of blood clotting. And, of course, these cases have been rare, but have been enough to cause the FDA to take a harder look at it. And, of course, reopening trades did suffer with this news. Your airlines and all other companies associated with the reopening and travel were under pressure, as Alaska Air was down 1.7%, American Airlines down 1.5%, and car rental company Avis Budget down 1%. Shares of Moderna, which makes another coronavirus jump vaccine, did jump 7% following the J&J news. The Consumer Price Index, one of Wall Street's most popular inflation gauges, rose 0.6% in March, just barely above estimates going in at 0.5%, and increased 2.6% from the same period a year ago. And coming into the report, economists were expecting a 2.5% increase. And so, in a way, good news, because there had been fear about runaway inflation, and the report obviously making it clear that inflation was not a real problem at this point. Core CPI, which includes volatile food and energy costs, only increased 0.3% monthly and 1.6% year over year. The 30-year Treasury bond was quiet, with the 10-year Treasury actually edging lower to finish just above 1.65%. In the commodities markets, gold was up 0.75% at $1,745.50 an ounce, while oil was up 1.125% at $60.38 a barrel. Turning out of stocks of local interest, it was App Harvest down 51 cents at 1642, CSX down 81 cents at 97.80, Marathon Petroleum up 36 cents at 52.57, PPL Energy down 2 cents at 28.71, Dollar General up $3 at 212.04, and Humana was up 390 to finish at 417.11. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
The weather forecast for the WMKY listening area, including the cities of Ashland, Campden, and Carlisle. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 63. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 40. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 58. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 37. Friday, sunny with a high near 62.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Carla Haight, Megan Jones, Levi Bryan, Sarah Mead, Lakin Hupp, Daria Denisenko, Heather Fannin, Josh Grogan, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Rachel Turner. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.